Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Cannabis Insider. I'm Pato Little. I'll be your host today. And we have a really special episode because we'll be diving into the financial heartbeat of the cannabis industry with a very special guest, Guillermo Rodriguez, with us. He's a seasoned virtual CFO, an expert in the cannabis space, and we'll be exploring together everything from profit-focused accounting to navigating the tricky waters of cannabis banking. So let's get started. Hi, Guillermo. Welcome to the show. How are you today?
I'm good, Pato. Thanks for having me on the show. I'm looking forward to the conversation.
Oh, yes. We're excited today because we really haven't spoken about with any virtual CFOs in Cannabis Insider. So for our audience that maybe it's the first time that hears the term, could you start by explaining what exactly a virtual CFO is and what do you do in the cannabis industry?
Sure, absolutely. I'd like to share a little bit about my story and kind of how I got to where I am today. I think that will help describe, you know, what a virtual CFO is and what the role involves, what we do for clients. And so I spent the first part of my career, about 15 years, working in corporate for a really large business, right? Like a $2 to $4 billion company, a contractor here out of San Antonio, Texas. And as you know, in the corporate world, you get to move around a lot. And that's one of the things that I loved about it. I started my career as an internal auditor, doing operational audits, everything that you do in internal audit. And then I moved into a role in financial accounting. So that's really where I think I did my first true accounting work, where a typical CPA would do, right? Doing the financial statements, consolidating multiple financial statements, and coordinating the external audit with the external auditors. And that was the part of my career where I really focused on historical financial statements, right? Making sure the books were right. And then I moved into a role in corporate financial and corporate finance. And so the corporate finance role is more in line with what virtual CFOs do. It's very much focused on the future, helping companies become more profitable, managing banking relationships, forecasting where profit and cash is going to be, and everything that is more of a forward-looking role in the organization, maybe even risk management, right? Insurance policies and all these different things. And so I think the year leading up to the pandemic, I started to think like I wanted a change in my career. And it was also during the pandemic where the company I was working for, we had a lot of restrictions around COVID and stuff, and I was unhappy with that. So it kind of coincided with I need a career change, and there's some things that don't jive with me. And so I decided to go into consulting. And the main part of that had to do of the change and the things that I wasn't happy with is that I felt like during the pandemic, the response was really to improve health for a long-term solution to the pandemic, right? And not just relying on Western medicine, but all the great things that we know about plant medicine, Eastern medicine, to help really improve people's health. And I think that would have been a very good way to combat any kind of future pandemic, health, you know, all these things. And so I think that's where I found cannabis. And I felt that it was a great part of a overall plan, you know, well-being and just coming out of the pandemic, it really spoke to me. And so at that point, I went into consulting as a virtual CFO. And that's really the role of a virtual CFO is that you really combine all these different areas that a corporate in-house CFO would have, right? All these different skill sets, not just understanding historical financial statements, but looking into the future. And at the time I didn't know, but I started to do some research because my thought was, can we just combine all this stuff and like really help small businesses who can't hire a full-time CFO? And the answer was yes. You know, I came up with pricing. I later joined Anders, a firm I'm with now, and we have a set pricing system where it's fixed, right? Clients just get to decide what services they want along with the virtual CFO, and they have a set price that's really a fraction of what they would pay. And what we do as virtual CFOs is help guide clients financially. Most, operators know exactly how they're going to run the operations. They're experts in their business, but they need that financial guidance, coming out of the, the hottest market I see right now is New Jersey. I get a lot of calls from brand new operators. You know, they're ready to start new licensees and they know what their revenue is going to be, but they don't quite know what profit is. Like they know, okay, these are the daily sales that we're predicting in this particular New Jersey market, but actually don't know how much profit I'm going to be making or how much cash I'm going to need to run this operation. So that's what we do as virtual CFOs is help clients dig into that to come up with a financial plan so they can get to where they want to get and help set those.
And that's a great story too, and about how it started and you combining your awareness for the need of natural medicines and also your professional background all combined together thanks to the pandemic. So that's also quite a journey to talk about. And you were just talking about again how these companies have a need at a certain point of having a virtual CFO. So at what stage of growth do you find cannabis companies typically recognize the need for a virtual CFO and maybe what triggers this realization?
Yeah, so companies that are really large already have scaled maybe 30 to 40 million really should maybe have someone in-house and someone full-time. There are times where we can supplement some of those an in-house CFO with some of our services, but that's really rare. Usually, companies who reach out and start to hire virtual CFO are somewhere in the $2 million to $20 million range. But cannabis is unique in the sense that it's one of those businesses that, especially I keep using New Jersey as an example, but you have a license, you have your real estate, and you're ready to go, and you have the funding to get started. So sometimes there are cannabis companies who are really in their first year and are just getting up and running that have the capital to pay a virtual CFO. And I say that because, it's practicality too, right? You want to be able to afford the services that you're paying for, but also make sure that it's a good investment, right? And so sometimes, that's something that we do on a call. Like I'll have a company reach out to me, a potential client, and we go through their income statement. Like, where are your sales right now? Where are you hoping to grow? And then let's look at your overhead cost and see how the cost of a virtual CFO or, hiring a CMO or any other major expenses are going to fit into your overall plan. And then we can get on a call and see, okay, yeah, I think at the end of the day, here's your profit at the end of year one with the additional expenses in it, and it makes a lot of sense. But usually from a mindset standpoint, the company owners that will reach out and invest in a virtual CFO is that they're very much forward-looking and focused on reaching their goals, and they understand that the financial component is a big part of that, and they know that there's some things that they just don't know and can't handle on their own from a knowledge standpoint and from a time standpoint as well.
Thank you for breaking that down. I was going to ask you what was the usual process when a client approaches. And you also just mentioned kind of a magic word for cannabis right now, that is profit. And I wanted to ask you, sometimes we hear just doom and gloom about the cannabis industry. So is it possible for cannabis companies to be profitable in the current economic environment? And also attached to that, what financial strategies should cannabis companies prioritize to remain profitable?
It's absolutely possible. We know from just benchmarking data that, could be less than a fourth of cannabis companies generate positive cash flow or have a profitable income statement at the end of the day. But if you really break down retail. Let's just say one, let's focus on one part of the supply chain. And the top gross margin would be somewhere around 50%. And depending on the market, you know, 40% might be more in line. Some markets have heavier discounting. And then perhaps overhead is somewhere around 25 to 30%. So a good profit before tax number is going to be somewhere around 15%. For all businesses, but in retail, I'm using that as an example. That is possible, but the two things that really need to happen is one, achieving that gross margin at the retail level, and then volume and scaling the business up to the overhead level that you have in place. Where it gets really difficult in cannabis is that if you calculate the effective tax rate on even a company that's making 15%, which would be good, the after-tax profit is very low. And so, yes, the company could be performing very well, but given the high effective tax rate, the cash generated after taxes could be very low, could be 1 or 2%. And so it's possible you got to get up to above 15% in pre-tax profit. And also the reschedule, the planned reschedule is going to help, you know, tremendously, and be able to achieve 5 to 7% after tax profit for most companies that are doing well.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You just opened the landscape for my next question. So with the ongoing discussions about rescheduling cannabis and also about the impact of IRS tax code 280E on cannabis businesses, how do you see these developments affecting the financial strategies of cannabis companies?
Yeah, I think it's simple. I mean, the first focus is on profitability. I think what will really happen is that, you know, there's going to be additional cash flow. It's very difficult to run a profitable business on such a lean structure, not being able to spend on virtual CFO, accounting services, marketing services. And so I believe that the reschedule is going to have a positive effect, not just from the extra dollars, but from cannabis companies investing in, say, education for their employees to drive additional sales and better technology and better advisory services and marketing to increase profitability. Even if safe banking doesn't happen, just by the fact that companies will have better cash flow, they will become more bankable and have better credit, you know, just from having additional cash flow. And so even if there is not, you know, safe banking in place anytime soon, I think when that happens, or even the banks that are working in cannabis where there are plenty, are going to have, you know, the industry is going to have better credit and better, you know, going to eventually be able to demand better terms on mm-hmm. lending and banking.
Absolutely. I think all of us are closely monitoring all the rescheduling process now that the comment period has ended 2 days ago. And linked to these and also about banking too, I mean, with the failure to pass the Safe Banking Act, what financial advice do you offer to cannabis companies who manage their operations securely and efficiently?
For deposits, what's most important, and I work on this, you know, every day, is managing and maintaining relationships. It's still in small business in general and banking in general, it really comes down to the relationships that you have overall, but especially in banking. You know, it makes a lot of sense to go the extra mile and develop relationships, communicate, you know, share results of your operations with your banker, you know, with lenders, probably even more than what you really have to, mm-hmm. to start to get to know you, because it's right now is a good time to, not only learn how to do that as a business owner, how to tell your story of where you're going financially, even more powerful if you can do that with metrics, to the investment community, right? And the time it takes for lenders to get to know you, it could be a long time, right? So the more you can get out there, tell the story of your business, how you're unique, your strategy, it really goes a long ways, right? And so that's my advice, is to really start early and to develop those relationships and be talking about your business operationally, but also financially, right? And I think that's the missing piece that a lot of business owners don't have, but can definitely get that with the virtual CFO, with the financial guidance within the business. And outside of that, I think that the truth is that the majority of cannabis companies have depository relationships with banks and are able to get banking from that standpoint. I just agree that lending for small businesses is difficult in general, and so cannabis will continue to be that way. But what could really help cannabis stand out, is that there's potential for really good, profitability and sustainable profitability within cannabis once the 280E burden goes away, right? So I think there's a good opportunity there in the future.
Absolutely. Yeah, we're all looking forward to that. And Guillermo, it's been really enlightening to hear your insights about. Before we wrap up, could you share with our listeners any upcoming projects or initiatives you're excited about in the cannabis industry? And also, how can people get in touch with you if they want to learn more or seek your expertise?
Yeah, thanks, Pato. I'd like to share that, what we do is we want to educate, right? So we're here to educate. We're here to share knowledge and help make connections within the cannabis industry. And a couple of ways that we've done that is just like you're doing, we also launched a podcast this year, and it's called the Cannabis Success Show. It's well underway. And our goal is really to bring in cannabis operators and to talk about what is working, not just like to your point earlier of like, there's a lot of doom and gloom. It's okay to be realistic, but we really want to get the stories out of what's working, what is profitable, where have operators been successful. And so that's one of the ways that we're giving back to the industry and helping to build it up is by sharing that knowledge. We also do our webinars. We talked about the reschedule earlier. We did a webinar with Nick Richards with Green Spoon Martyr to talk about the various tax strategies that are available with regards to amending returns. And so that was one of the big things that came out of this, when Trulieve made the announcement late last year, is that I heard somebody say, it's okay, public companies can't share publicly things, but, on the side, we got to share what we're doing, how we're doing it, and what's helpful. So that's one of the things that we try to do is get those get that information out there and allow people to ask questions and what to consider when amending their tax returns and what the risks are. Since that's the biggest topic right now, we did a webinar on that. And so I would say follow our podcast, and if you follow me on LinkedIn, I also will promote our webinars, where we're just really trying to share information and helping companies be more profitable. And so you can find me on LinkedIn, Guillermo Rodriguez, just type it in, or summitcpa.net as well. Or I can also send my landing page. It's got my information and calendar link where people can get in touch with me.
Oh, that's great. That's great. And we'll be closely following your podcast. I mean, we always love to have new sources to talk about the cannabis industry. So congrats for that endeavor. And it's been really awesome having you with us today. It's been a great conversation, and we have learned a lot. So thank you very much, Guillermo, for your insights. And I hope you have an awesome day.
Thank you, Pato.
What an incredible interview. A big thank you to our guests for joining in today, and to our buds for tuning in.
Yes, and that wraps up today's Cannabis Insider. Before we go, remember to check out all our Benzinga daily content. Don't miss out on our upcoming events, including Benzinga Cannabis Capital Conference, along with our virtual events. For all the details, visit benzinga.com or benzinga.com/events.
None that you want to miss out on. So also follow us on all social medias to keep up with the latest cannabis news. I'm Abby Higginbotham.
And I am Pato Little. Remember to stay green, stay informed, and we'll see you next time. Bye for now.